This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. In 1966, Larry Williams was 17 years old. He signed on the dotted line to join the Army, and within months, he found himself in a battle in the brutal Tet Offensive. Today, we continue our series on African Americans in the military with a look at what America owes returning veterans and one man's harrowing story of the war abroad and the after effects back home. Larry Williams, thank you for coming in.
Good morning.
So let's start out with the Tet Offensive. Tell us briefly how significant this was and what role you played in it.
Well, it was significant in the sense that when the Tet Offensive broke out, it was staged all over Vietnam at one time. Every major military installation, fire base, etc., was attacked all at once.
So it was unified fighting, and from what I understand, very brutal fighting between the Viet Cong and the U.S. in dozens of cities.
Well, not just the Viet Cong, but even more so the NVA, the North Vietnamese regulars, which were the North Vietnam's elite troops.
How long was it between the time that you enlisted and the time that you set foot in Vietnam?
I was in the military for maybe a year. I had left Germany volunteering for Vietnam.
Why did you go into the military?
I came up in a very sheltered environment. I wanted to have adventure. I wanted to just get out on my own.
Now, you had an experience not too long after you were in Vietnam where you ended up losing a friend. Can you tell us about that, a mentor?
Well, actually, it was an older vet that had taken me up on his wing. He was the truck driver for our company. I was doing a minesweep operation in front of the vehicles that was following in the convoy itself. And the mine detector that I had was three of us that would cover what they call Highway 1, which was actually a dirt road, that part of it at the time. And the mine detector I had, which actually was defaulted, I was the newest guy in the company. And suddenly I heard a great big woof behind me, which was an explosion. I turned around, I saw the guy I'm talking about in question in the truck go up in there and come down in a fireball.
Did you feel responsible?
Not only did I feel responsible, but because I was the newest one in the company and the youngest, they put a lot of responsibility on me, the blame on me.
When you went forward with your time in Vietnam, you ended up in a number of difficult positions in terms of what substances you took into your body, in terms of family. Can you tell us about those things that you faced that were even beyond the fighting?
Well, besides beyond the fighting, I think the next incident that I encountered, we encountered a funeral possession of about six different people who had passed, you know, due to the war, Vietnamese. And we had to search those coffins. And unlike the U.S., which is Vietnam is a third world country, they don't have at that time, they didn't have the procedures that we do for us, mortuary or anything else. It was quite gruesome, to say the least.
And you ended up getting into drug use.
Yes, I did.
What did you do?
First, it was just marijuana, as a lot of guys were doing at that time, marijuana, drinking a lot of beer. Then I got wounded, and I was on morphine for a while, and next thing I know, I developed a distinctive taste for it, so I started using opium.
At the same time, you had a romantic relationship. What happened there?
Young lady that I met while I was over there, we brought a child into this world. initially after Vietnam, I was able to keep in contact with her all the way up until the time the North Vietnamese took the country over. And since then, I haven't heard from either one of them.
So somewhere out there, you may have a grown child.
Yeah.
How did this affect you once you got back to the U.S.?
Well, really, at that time, it didn't have any effect whatsoever because I was entrenched in my disease of drug addiction at the time.
So you're saying that you didn't feel much because you were doped up?
Right. Was doped up. I was not knowing at the time. I had issues, major issues with Vietnam, which I wasn't facing as well.
So what we would call today PTSD was what you were going through?
Yes.
How low did your life get?
For a number of years, in and out of drug treatment programs, not here in Los Angeles, but I'm from St. Louis, in and out of county jails, the state prison system in Missouri.
Was there a moment when you said, you know what, I can turn my life around?
At that time, the only time I really tried to turn it around is because of something the courts was ordering me to do, or something some relative of mine and my family or some girlfriend.
But now you run or co-founded New Directions, which is a place that we here at News and Notes have visited, and it helps veterans who have been out on the streets, and it really uplifts people, does a lot of drug treatment. You must have walked a real path from being so low yourself to being able to help other people. What made you do that?
Well, I ended up homeless myself in 1986 while I was working for the Department of Veterans Affairs. And one more time, I realized that I had a problem. But only this time, I realized that I needed help, and I wanted to get help for myself, not because it was someone else's desire. And I ended up going to New Directions when it was a VA program.
Now, Iraq, you see images all the time. How has that affected you?
Within the last 2 years, because I have not taken care of myself other than being clean and sober, but issues that I have with PTSD, I had to start addressing them because of everything that I was seeing on television and reading in the news. Dealing with Iraq, it start bringing my nightmares and flashbacks up, and I had to deal with them. So I'm going for treatment for PTSD myself.
Larry, thank you for sharing your story
with
us. Larry Williams is a Vietnam veteran. He also co-founded New Directions, an organization for once homeless veterans.